coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Sure, I know what day it is. It's Tuesday, September 28th, 2021. Eric the tech, he wheels me over here, sits me down.
Great start to the show.
Great start, isn't it? Well, welcome to Hagman, the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. And if you are not angry, you're not paying attention. That's my new mantra as well.
And I forgot to give you your injections before the show.
That's right. I'm going to be Mr. Marbles Jr., Joe Biden Jr. Speaking of which, oh my goodness, he took to television airwaves to get his fake vaccine, probably. You know, I wonder what was in that cocktail that was given to him in his arm. We're going to be taking a look at that. But a lot of news to get into. First hour.
Moist squalene.
Squalene. We hate that word. Or he hates it. We hate squalene. What is squalene? Okay, but it's kind of like, there are things that we don't like, both individually and collectively, and squalene's one of them, whatever that might be. But I want to welcome you to this hour of the show. I got a lot of information to get into, a lot of news, and I'm going to take you a little bit different and a little bit deeper on a couple of subjects, okay? I enjoy these hours, this time I have with you, by myself. I do. Because there's things on my mind that sometimes I just can't get to with others. There are things on my mind that I think that, when I look at everything taking place, again, just from my own investigative position, 35 years in this business. And I know people say, why do you keep saying that? Because we have new listeners all the time. And, they don't know who the heck I am. And, but some people do. I'll share this with you. I had to run, some errands today myself. My wife's not doing too well. She's a little sick. And, so I had to run some errands today. I went to the bank and, just a great young lady at the bank. Had to pay some bills. She said, hey, you know what? My boyfriend's reading your book. My son is, doing a book report on your book, and I'm just waiting for them to get done. And then I'll get your book. I said, you know what? Let me give you a couple of books. Okay. My goodness. I'm wondering what this book report's going to be like. Okay. Is it going to be on, grammar, syntax, or is it going to be on content? I was kidding with her, of course, but, what a sweet lady. So at any rate, in these conversations I have with everyday people, I'm an everyday person, just so you know. In these conversations I've been having, I got a call yesterday from just a great friend, longtime friend, 45 years known him. And he's a very talented, very, very, very talented musician. And this is all I'm going to say. And he said, you know, I've been with this organization, and I'm not going to say the organization, for decades. And I'm about ready not to be with them anymore because 80% of the people who voted this past weekend about whether to mandate this coronavirus vaccine voted. But it was kind of a slanted situation where no one knew though what was going to be taking place except the majority of people who were in favor of this. And even at that, they could only get 80%. But he's facing losing his longtime love and profession. And I'm seeing more and more of this. And I'm seeing more and more of this, people starting to wake up and saying, there's something not right here. And it surprised me when I heard from him, and I haven't heard from him in a while, but, again, it's still a good friend. You know how guys are, right? We can go a couple of years without talking. All of a sudden we talk and it's like we never stop talking, but the fact is this, people are starting to wake up to the tyranny of this whole thing. And they're starting to ask questions, and they're starting to say, wait a minute, there's something really, really wrong here. Aside from the lies, we can almost accept the lies because, well, I shouldn't say accept them. We can expect them to come from the politicians' mouths. But there's something more nefarious here. And again, please allow me to just reference the investigation. This is day number 115 of the investigation that Russ Izdar, his team, and myself were working. And you might say, what does that have to do with anything? Well, what surprises me is on a microcosmic level, a smaller level, a local level, but not so local. It's kind of regional, and then it goes national. The information that we are developing, and I'm not going to give anything that I shouldn't be giving out. I'm not going to say much more than this. The stuff that is happening on a local level is really undergirding the regional and national and international processes, all right? So let me give you an example. And I'm being very careful here because this is an active investigation. When you have and this is going to be hard for people to believe. Look, it was hard for me to believe. I mean, I saw it with my own eyes, and it's very difficult for me to believe. You know, we have freedom of religion in this country. You're free to worship the God of the Bible, and you're also free to worship Satan. To your own peril, of course, but that's freedom of religion in this country. Except now we're seeing the latter, the satanic worship, overtake the worship of the God of the Bible. We're seeing God kicked out of every place. And in addition, where satanic worship goes from freedom or being protected, a protective activity, to a criminal act, that's where I'm looking, and I come in, and Russ and his team come in. And by criminal activity, I'm talking about some pretty gnarly things. Things I can't even say on air. Things that I have actually, almost lost my cookies over, and I've seen a lot, as a blood spatter analyst and investigator. I've seen a lot, but I have never seen the depravity at this level. And Eric the Tech let me ask Eric the Tech, the things you've seen, without being specific, did it surprise you, the level of depravity that you've seen as an investigator now? What were your thoughts? I mean, when you see it in real life, the evidence in real life, the activities in real life, what are your thoughts? If we were, no, let me rephrase this question. If we were to show what we know, what we've seen, what we have to the public, what would they think?
Horrific.
Just horrific? Or yeah, horrific is, I guess that sums it up. But see, okay, thank you for that.
You just wanted a one-word answer?
Well, no, I mean, you could give me a paragraph if you want.
Continue.
You know, yeah, and that's the thing. It's difficult for people to understand what's happening here on a local level. And this involves, and here's the thing. This involves human trafficking from the southern border. This involves satanic worship. This involves drawing down demons, as Russ will tell you, drawing down demons for empowerment. Bloodletting, charged blood, demonic blood, and selling that blood to, or providing that blood to, leaders of industry. Yes, that's a thing. Yeah, that's the thing. And in the local level, national names have come up, both former and current. And I think, here's what I think. I was accused yesterday on in an email saying, well, I'm not going to listen to you anymore. You're a Trump apologist. No, you know what? No. No, I'm not a Trump apologist. Look, there are things that President Trump did that I don't agree with. I don't understand why he did them. But, hey, it is what it is. But you take President Trump on one end and Biden on the other end. Okay, you tell me who you would put your faith in more today than it's really if we just had those two choices, who would you rather have? And we're going to be getting into that in a little bit, but look, I worship no man. I hold no man higher than any other man in terms of their well, I don't worship any person. And I do suspect if President Trump was president right now, you know, he would be doing things that would really be, frankly, pissing me off, okay, as well as you. But there are certain things that he has done or had done that stopped this progression of this great reset. And I think that's why he's getting all the hassles. Look, he's not perfect, and I'm not making any apologies for him. I'm not making any excuses for him. All I'm just saying, if you stack a Biden versus Trump, who would you rather have? That's all I'm asking, okay? Mean tweets, Orange Man bad versus Mr. Marbles can't find his, you know, his address is written in his underwear, all right? It depends.
He's chipped.
He's chipped. That's right. Light like a dog.
So when the vet catches him.
So yeah, exactly. So look, all I'm saying to you guys, you folks, all I'm saying to you is, where we're at today is, and I believe where we're at today is, has been choreographed, very carefully choreographed. And one of the things, you know, I really like, and I like Alex Jones. I like him a lot. And we've had talks and, you know, because I don't have much time, you know, I can't host that fourth hour yet. But he's a great guy. And he's got a good heart. People don't understand the heart he's got and the care that he has. Oh, sure. He's flamboyant at times, but you know, hey, again, you know, you've got to understand we're living in some really freaky times. But didn't he tell us exactly where we are going to be? You got to give him props for that, as well as all of the people that we deal with. That they've laid this out, and at their expense, well, they lost tons of money. I mean, we've lost a lot. People don't understand how much we've lost revenue-wise because of the positions we take. And the positions we take are very simply, we seek the truth. We are truth seekers, wherever it might lead. And again, if President Trump does something, or Jared Kushner, look, Kushner's not a president, okay, any more than Hunter Biden is the president. But, okay, and Hunter, boy, I got some stuff on Hunter Biden too. But anyway, I just wanted to get that out. If you understand that look, I hold no man higher than my Lord and Savior. But the people, the leaders here, there is a definite divide between the left and the right, between the globalists and the populists, between the evildoers and the people who are striving for good. That's all I'm saying. And sometimes you have to, I'm not going to say compromise. Sometimes you have to, okay, accept, man, that was a really stupid decision over here. You know, maybe on Trump's end, a stupid decision. Can't understand why. Like to know why. But okay, the other parts, okay, good. Whereas over here on the Biden side, man, what the heck do we got? What do we have? Anyway. So I've got a couple of things. There are a number of issues here. I'm going to just, I'm looking at my notes. Folks, let's put this graphic up, the attached graphic for today's show prep. I want you to take a look at this because this undergirds, I think, all of what we're seeing today. I want you to take a look at that picture. Those who are listening on Global Star or driving or otherwise visually impaired, what this is a cartoon. And it's a man wearing a face mask, you know, looped around the ears and a face shield, reading Germany, you know, a book about Nazi Germany, about ostensibly about the death camps and the Jews and the gypsies and Christians being led into these gas chambers. And the thought bubble coming from there saying, how could people allow it to get to that point? Now, that to me, that really strikes at the heart of the issue. The very people who are being fooled or being manipulated are asking that question. And that includes conservatives as well as liberals or Christians as well as non-Christians. That cuts through all parties, all peoples. And there it is visually. That's a great visual. Whoever that cartoonist there, it's on the left side of your screen. I'm going to thank him for making that cartoon or that image. Jimbo. All right. Jim Bob. All right. But see, now doesn't that summarize where we're at today? I think it does. Folks, you don't have to put this up yet. I just want you to be aware of something called the Spartacus letter. I don't know how many people know about this. I'm going to be getting back to this. The Spartacus letter. It's going to be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. In fact, I'll put it up. I don't know how long this is going to be available. I had to snag it after I got multiple 404 errors. Multiple takedowns at multiple locations. I want you to read this. I want you to download it. I want you you may not understand all of it. I certainly didn't because it's pretty technical in some parts. Whoever wrote it under the pseudonym Spartacus knows what they're talking about. Obviously it's a pseudonym, but again, please, if you do nothing else, if you get nothing else out of this program, remember the Spartacus letter. Go to HagmanReport.com. It's on there. It's on the front page. And it might stay there for a month, you know, as long as they allow us to keep it up. And I would like you to download it, to pass it around. It's 29 pages with references. Or I think it's about that. There's pages of footnotes, endnotes, whatever you want to call them, of references. When you look back in history, and you know that the winners write the history books, right? History is written by the winners, not by the losers. It's an important point to remember. But when we look back in history, if we prevail, and I believe we will prevail, but we're not going to prevail in the court system. We're not going to prevail at the voting booths. We're not going to prevail anywhere except in the field, if you know what I mean. I believe it's come to that point. I believe that right now, the justice system, there is no justice. It's a legal system that is a weapon or has been weaponized by the communist left in this country and worldwide. At the epicenter of this are really three things. And that's the release of the bioweapon, the Fauci/CCP, Fauci-Daszak bioweapon. And this refers to the Spartacus letter as well. That set the stage for the method of coup or part of the coup that took place in November of 2019 in the Orwellian tyrannical situation we're currently living under. People have often said that COVID has become a religion, or that, you know, fighting COVID has become a religion. We should take a look at this video, clip one. This is, you thought Cuomo was bad in New York. You know, the New York governor, the governorship, that's a gift that keeps on giving, Clark. Reference to vacation, or Christmas vacation. It's a gift that keeps on giving. Here's clip one. Here's the newly installed governor of New York, Kathy Hochul. And note the irony of this. And this is, especially for Christians, note the irony of this. She's speaking at a church last Sunday. Maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't. If you didn't, great. Now you're going to see it. And if you did, watch it again. But note the irony of this. As she speaks at a New York church, listen and watch. Here it is.
We have to get this community back. And what we went through this pandemic made us stronger. I believe that, especially when I talk to young people who weren't able to have their graduations from high school or a normal life for the last 18 months. I say to them, whatever comes your way in life, you are stronger. You are more resilient. God let you survive this pandemic because he wants you to do great things someday. He lets you live through this when so many other people did not. And that is also your responsibility. But how do we keep more people alive? We are not through this pandemic. I wished we were, but I prayed a lot to God during this time. And you know what? God did answer our prayers. He made the smartest men and women, the scientists, the doctors, the researchers, he made them come up with a vaccine. That is from God to us. And we must say, thank you, God. Thank you. And I wear my vaccinated necklace all the time to say, I'm vaccinated. All of you. Yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones. But you know there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants. You know this. You know who they are. I need you to be my apostles. I need you to go out and talk about it and say, we owe this to each other. We love each other. Jesus taught us to love one another. And how do you show that love? But to care about each other enough to say, please get vaccinated because I love you. I want you to live. I want our kids to be safe when they're in schools. I want you to be safe when you go to a doctor's office or to a hospital and are treated by somebody. You don't want to get the virus from them. You're already sick or you wouldn't be there. We have to solve this, my friends. I need every one of you. I need you to let them know that this is how we can get fight this pandemic, come back to normal, and then start talking about the real issues that we have to. Fighting systemic racial injustice, which exists today. And if there's a denier, I will take you on any day because I've seen it. I know it exists. And we are not going to have a blind eye to this ever again, any longer under my watch. And that is my commitment to you.
Don't adjust your television set. That was me being stunned. What y'all think of that? I need you to be my apostles. Eric the Tech, any comments on that?
I always hate when they say God gave people gifts to create things like the vaccine. So, which means it's from God.
Right.
So if God gives a terrorist the skills to be a top marksman and takes out a bunch of people, that's from God.
Yeah. You know.
I get ungodly vibes from this preacher.
Oh, yeah. But yet she was invited into a church, a Christian church. She's invoking the name of God. She's invoking, well, or at least, associating her position, with at the level of Jesus Christ, and she's asking the congregation to be her apostles. How much more blasphemous can that get? In the you talk about the left or the communists or the globalists saying, well, the anti-vax people, it's their religion. Wait a second. What did I just hear? What did I just watch? And it's a matter, yes, I know projection. I get all of that, okay? But that should really disturb a lot of people, especially in light of the fact of this. A year ago, all the TikTok videos, you know, remember that? Healthcare workers or nurses dancing. That never set well with me, all right? That never set well with me. When I was a fire rescue back in the late 70s and stuff, you know, no, of course we didn't have any of that, but no, you know, you don't go out there and boogie oogie until you can't boogie oogie no more. You know, no. What are you laughing at? You do your job and that's, you just do your job. You're expected to go do your job, right? You're expected to go run into the building and do your job. You're expected to pick up the pieces of human pieces, you know, and take them to the hospital. That's what you're paid to do. No one's there to clap for you. Anyway. So now, the heroes of last year, those people, and this is happening locally, this is happening in your area as well. You don't get vaxxed. Knowing, of course, the vax is not a vax. You don't get vaxxed. You don't get to work. In fact, we're making it mandatory now. If you're a nurse, a doctor, an anesthetist, a janitor that cleans the floors of the hospital, nothing wrong with that. We need people to do that. And they do it well. Or any support personnel, you've got to have the vaccination. Let's go to clip 3. And let's hear the same proud Kathy Hochul of New York talking about, oh my goodness, do you know what? We have a shortage. We're going to have a shortage of healthcare workers. It's horrible. But don't worry. We'll bring in the National Guard to work at the hospitals because of the shortage. Go to clip 3.
And we'll be nation leading with our mandate, which strikes at midnight tonight, when everyone is expected in a hospital in the state of New York or a healthcare facility to have been vaccinated. I will be signing an executive order to give me the emergency powers necessary to address the shortages where they occur. That's going to allow me to deploy the National Guard, who are medically trained, deploy people who've been retired, who may have had a license lapse, bring in people from elsewhere. That is not my first position, though, my friends. My desire is to have the people who've been out there continue to work in their jobs, work in them safely, and to all the other healthcare workers who are vaccinated, they also deserve to know that the people they're working with will not get them
sick. All right. Yeah, pause that. Folks, take a look at that. All right. Look at that picture that's on your screen. Look at the backdrop. I it's just distracting, I know, but you know, I know. I shouldn't even be saying it. I shouldn't even be drawing it out there, right? But you know what I'm going for, right? How fitting. How fitting. So let me get this straight. She signs, using her power, she signs this order that everyone by midnight last night to get the shot, the clot shot. And if you don't, you're out. And, oh, staff shortage at hospitals? We're going to bring the National Guard in, the National Guard that have, you know, experience, right? The medical experience. There's something really, really wrong with that, isn't there? And people are accepting of that. Well, I understand. Goes back to that picture. Goes back to that cartoon. This is all part of the larger thing that's going on, and it's going to affect everyone. It's going to affect everyone. And Steve Quayle, myself, talking about the food supplies, Ice Age Farmer talking about the food supplies. You're not going to be able, you know, at first, we're going to make life inconvenient for you. Did I even grab that one? Maybe I didn't. Let's see. Well, let's go to clip number five. This is a 47 second clip. This is Joe Biden. And in one of his moments of, I don't know, walking around in his slippers and his suit, you know, and showing his arm to get the clot shot, supposedly, which is probably just a boost of, you know, amphetamines just to keep him upright. Listen to his words here, because you know, they're going full bore to shut this country down one more time. And it's going to be a permanent lockdown, and we're never going to be the same ever unless we stand up, unless we fight. I've been saying this before. We are not going to vote our way out of this. We're not going to litigate our way out of this. We're not going to, there will not be enough people no one is going to, letters are not going to work. Emails are not going to work. Unarmed protests are sadly not going to work. Why? They could work though. If everyone put down their, you know, stop driving the trucks, stop sending the checks to the IRS. If everyone just stopped, but everyone on our side has got to do that. That's the only way non-violent unarmed protests will work is if we have the numbers in sufficient presence. Otherwise, it's not going to work. What's the alternative? I wish that would happen. It's not going to happen. What's the alternative? You know what the alternative is. But how many people are willing to risk everything? You see, how many people are willing to say, no, you know what? You see it here and there. You see police officers resigning. You see firefighters resigning. You see healthcare workers resigning. But that means giving up a lifestyle. That means risking it all. And that also means putting us as second-class citizens. Because what this is all about, it's always been about control. It's always been about control of the population, and it's always been about the injection. But let's go to clip five, and let's hear Mr. Marbles talk about what his real objective is here, because nothing's going to get back to normal until the real objective. Go ahead.
How many Americans need to be vaccinated for us to go back to normal? Like, what is the percentage of total vaccinations that have to be deployed?
Well, I think we get the vast majority, like it's going on in some industries and some schools, 97-98%. I think we're getting awful close. But I'm not the scientist. But one thing for sure, a quarter of the country can't go unvaccinated, and that's not continuing to have a problem.
Do you hear that? 97-98%. In other words, 100%. Everyone needs to get the clot shot. Everyone needs it. Everyone has to get it. That's what their goal is. Why? Why? When in the course of human history have we ever seen this level of tyranny in order to protect the population? We have never seen it. Some will say, oh, during the smallpox epidemic. No. You know, people like to twist history. Misrepresent really what went on. Look, there was a push for vaccines back then. Okay. I get that. 100%. I understand that. But you're talking about a big difference between attenuated viruses in the shot versus an mRNA type delivery system with spike proteins. It's totally different. You're talking about gene therapy versus an actual vaccine. Look, I'm not anti-vaccine. I am anti mRNA / COVID jab juice stuff, because we can see through the BS of what's really going on. Speaking of that, how's this working out? A little bit of information. Owen Schroeder did a great job yesterday. He had a guest on. He was talking about just in New York City, there was a gentleman on that was gathering data, had gathered data from databases, including and especially Medicare databases, older people. And there was a very alarming result. I don't know how many people caught Owen's program, but there was a, this is kind of, it strikes at the heart of where we're at. Clip number, six. Let's go ahead and play six. Clip six at, started about 1:05. And we'll give you the highlights of this. Go ahead. Oh, he's got to get it ready. But okay, so again, this goes back to what's contained in the Spartacus letter. And we're going to be getting to that momentarily, but you have to understand this is all about population control. This is all about enslaving the public, calling the population, enslaving the public, and making us, subjugating us to this higher communist / satanic authority. And yes, I use that word satanic deliberately. Go ahead and play it.
Any final points you want before I get some of these news headlines across your desk too?
This is very important. Thank you, Owen. All right. So on that same presentation, I actually made Thomas Renz aware that not only did he need to look at remdesivir and death percentages in the CMS database, but I made him aware that the FDA document put out in October 2020 about the known side effects and the reporting of coming side effects from the actual COVID-19 shots 2 months later in December when they went out. It's called the Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research. It's an FDA document, and it's called the infamous slide 16. But if you go to, I made him aware this last Thursday night. I said, you have to go back and look at that document at slide 15. The FDA discloses that they're going to use the CMS database to review using rapid cycle analysis what the side effects of the COVID-19 shots are to determine if they're safe and effective. And Thomas Renz had no idea they selected that. Well, he has a whistleblower inside the CMS. So since Thursday night, he started running these actual side effects on slide 16 that you're looking at right now. And if you go to the next slide, this actually is all of New York State in the CMS database. He took and had the whistleblower look at anybody who had the symptoms or diseases on slide 16 that you were just looking at. He wanted to make sure no one had it as of January 1st, 2020 in the Medicare database, and then wanted to know since January 2020 how many of the Medicare people now have these conditions that are listed on all of the slide 16. And you asked me, what's the agenda? It sounds like a depopulation thing. Look at this. Outside of killing a whole bunch of New Yorkers with their hospital protocols and remdesivir, look at death for people on Medicare in New York 28 days post-vaccination. 6,586 people in New York alone died within 28 days of getting the COVID-19.
Holy smokes. This is actually incredible. Right, not only the death.
Can you just back it up just a couple of seconds? Just so that, okay, right there. Look at that chart. Look at those numbers. Now, I can't see them on my preview monitor. I saw them earlier when I was prepping for the show. So what we have here is that from a Medicare database, healthy people, people with no chronic conditions that are listed here on January 1st, And post-vax or post-COVID shot, these are the numbers. These are the numbers they don't want you to see. And this is a very specific part of the population. So look at these numbers. Now, the link to this audio or video clip will be at HagmanReport.com in the program description box. But look at those numbers. Oh, and also, isn't it interesting that they get, the recipients of this vax got the coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2 as well? Death, COVID, heart attack, myocardial infarction, anaphylaxis. You know, look, with injections, numerous people get, have reactions, but anaphylaxis to it's very dangerous. Anaphylactic shock is a very dangerous situation. But anaphylaxis? Look at those numbers. Okay, so go ahead and continue with that. I just want people to have the chance to look at those numbers without additional commentary. Okay, go ahead and let this play for a little bit.
6,586 people in New York alone died within 28 days of getting the
COVID-19
shot.
Holy smokes, this is actually incredible. Not only the death, the COVID-19, they all got COVID.
And look at all the COVID ones. Yeah, you'll see COVID-19 listed there. 7,612 people got COVID as a result of the shots that did not have it before they got the shots. So this is taking slide 16, and I told Thomas Renz, go take that information. The FDA said they were going to use the CMS database and do what's called rapid cycle analysis. Every 7 days, they were going to be evaluating the side effects and injuries to people in Medicare in that database. They haven't looked at it once. At least they've never created those reports for us. But now we have simply for New York only. Take that number, 6,586 deaths within 28 days of getting the vaccines in the CMS database, and now plug that in for all 50 states. You not only have 704,000 people dead in America right now from remdesivir poisoning, you also have hundreds of thousands dead, most likely 150,000 dead post-COVID-19 vaccines. If this isn't a depopulation, this is almost 800,000. Actually, it's 850,000 people that have been killed in less than 17 months with Anthony Fauci's protocols and the FDA protocols of these vaccine mandates.
And now they're doing the booster vaccines as they admit that it doesn't even stop COVID. I mean, so what is it for? It doesn't stop COVID. You can't take the mask off. The medical tyranny's not going anywhere. What is the vaccine actually for? Boy, those numbers may indicate it. It's not for your health. Oh, maybe it's for the health of the planet, as in kill off all the humans. This is just incredible. And I'm sure I have it somewhere lost in my stack here, the things I've already covered. Oh, look at that. Opened right to it. Affidavit of Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long, MD, in support of motion for a preliminary injunction order to ground all pilots and crew who have taken the COVID vaccine. And she puts it all in the affidavit, exactly what you've gone through. How all these people that got the vaccine are dying, having strokes, having heart attacks. So, I mean, it makes sense. You wouldn't want your pilot to be at an increased risk of a stroke or a heart attack or death while it's in the air. So they're like, hey, we got to ground these pilots. I mean, that's just common sense.
Yeah, and listen, AFLDS.org, and I met with Dr. Simone Gold in person on Friday. She had a press release that they were filing an injunction to stop all vaccinations of military because at Fort Hood alone, two were in the ICU. One died within 48 hours of getting the COVID-19 shots. One of them is a helicopter pilot that died. And so they actually put in this injunction to stop all the actual vaccinating of all military because she said the lieutenant in the military said, if these people are flying, what if they died of a stroke or heart attack from the shot and they're in the air? There's no way we can allow these people to fly. It's just another injunction and lawsuit. And it's deplorable that healthy young men and women in our military are going to be given these shots that we know have serious list of side effects. The FDA knew it in October 2020. It's listed on this slide presentation, but you've got things from paralysis, myocardial infarction, it's heart attacks, deaths, miscarriages, and all of these have been reported in the thousands, as you can see, just from this one state.
This is just unbelievable stuff.
This is evil. You can go ahead and terminate that. Again, the links to all of these resources here are going to be at HagmanReport.com. And I just want people to understand, this is not about healthcare. This is not about health. This is about a very diabolical, an extremely diabolical plan by the globalists, by the people who want the depopulation of the planet. And you know this. In my personal opinion, people like Klaus Schwab, who prior to COVID would not really be able to initiate a great reset where you will own nothing and be happy. So all of this is working together in order to depopulate, to get rid of the infirmed. They're replacing the gas chambers with the COVID shot, in my opinion. And one thing I want to say, you know, people say, well, you don't understand. It's, you know, I've got a job. I've got to work. Well, you know what? You're not going to be able to work if you're on your back with a, you know, myocardial infarction or heart attack or thrombosis or whatever. But okay. A personal story, you know, there's a very close family to mine, to me. One sister cried when she received the COVID vaccine. again, understand when I say that, I don't mean vaccinated, but the shot, clot shot. And the other sister cried when she got the COVID vaccine, but for two different reasons. The first one was so brainwashed and so tuned in to MSNBC and everything Rachel Maddow and Brian Stelter from CNN and all these people, you know, oh, I cried because I was so happy to get it. Another sister cried because she was forced to get it. And my response to the latter was, you weren't forced. You acquiesced. So, you know, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to take, you're going to have to suck it up and take it. If that was your decision and you made that decision, that's on you. I'll pray for you, but that's on you. To the former, I can't help you. To the latter, that's on you. Let's to show you the, and again, you know, you remember the Canadian pastor, Arthur Pulaski. He's been arrested. He made headlines when he kicked out the Gestapo police in Canada, Calgary, Canada, back early this year. Said, get out of my church. Get out of this. Get out of my sanctuary. He made headlines. Of course, he was arrested back then. But now he's making headlines again. This is going to be happening all across not just Canada, not just Australia, not just in Western Europe. This is coming to America. It's already here, but this is going to be coming to America, in your face in America, just like this. This is Compliments of War Room, Steve Bannon. This is clip number two. Go ahead and play it.
We're going to go to the heart of it right now. Cindy Chafin joins us by phone. Breaking news on the great preacher Arthur Pavlovsky up in Canada. We've had him on the show many, many times. We've shown the videos of the Canadian Gestapo coming into the church, threatening them about vaccines and vaccine mandates and everything like that. Cindy, tell us what happened today.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Steve, for having me on. So sorry about the video. I'm here at the airport. I just landed here in Atlanta. So this morning, I sent Pastor Arthur back. We finished the tour here in America, and he was on a private jet back from Bozeman to Calgary. And as soon as he stepped foot back on Canadian soil, the Canadian authorities, Calgary authorities, were there and arrested him immediately. He didn't even step 2 feet onto the tarmac before they had his hands behind his back, and he was on his knees again. So they've arrested him. They've taken him to an undisclosed location. When they flew in, the Calgary officials forced his plane to reroute. There were about 50 to 75 people waiting at the airport there for him. His family, his wife, and his children were there waiting for him, and they rerouted the plane to a different location other than where he was supposed to be flying originally, so that they could take him away without them being able to see anything. They didn't want any spectacle. They didn't want any witnesses to this kidnapping of this pastor, who they are... We don't even know what the charges are at this point. They're claiming that he's being charged with, get this, baptizing his daughter in May. So that is what they're claiming the charges are. But we all know that there's far more to it than that. So as of this morning, he was arrested again. We don't know where he is. His family went to the remand center, which is where, I guess it's like a police station. I'm not in Canada, so I'm not sure. And his family was then, they asked about Arthur. And as soon as they started asking about Arthur Pelosi, they locked his family out of this government building because they were simply asking about their husband and father. So we are asking everybody to contact the Calgary mayor. And if you want to take this phone number down, it's 403-268-2489, and demand that they let this pastor go. The idea that he can be held in jail for nothing more than baptizing his daughter or holding church is absolute tyranny. We cannot stand for this any longer. We shouldn't have been standing for it as long as we have. But as I said, Arthur Pelosi, after being here in America for 3.5 months, warning about the tyranny and what's coming to America, has once again been arrested. And we do not know what he... Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to make sure, Sidney, he's been here in the United States on this tour where he's lighting people up, which is for 3.5 months. He has never, this is the first time he's returned to Canada since basically June?
Correct. Yeah, he got here on June 10th, and he has been, we've been nationwide warning people about what is coming to America. This is happening in Canada. Nobody thought it would happen in Canada, but here we are. And he has been here since June. He has not returned back. He has had multiple court dates, and his last court date where he was found guilty and being held in contempt, that was the verdict of that was found. He was found guilty, and then his sentencing has been postponed until October. So this is a completely new charge. This has nothing to do with the original video and the original arrest that people have seen. There is a video of his arrest on at my website, Firebrand, firebrandaction.com. So, and I will be updating people as I get more information at that website, firebrandaction.com, and they can contact me through there to find out if they, you know, whatever
okay,
in information.
The time. Let's go to, if we can go to firebrandaction.com, the website she mentioned. I'm not sure I got that correctly, but you do have in the show notes. There is a, she was able to, the pilot of the aircraft did get some video of him being arrested. That's right. Firebrandaction.com is the source of this. And if we can put the video of the arrest, and the reason I want people to see this video is for people to understand the level at which the so-called authorities are going to go. What? Two steps on the ground, and they've got the equivalent of a SWAT team against this man, making him kneel. By the way, that is a psychological tactic. Yeah, it does have some personal protection merit, but in this case, a psychological tactic to make him kneel, handcuff this man, and take him away from his family. For what? This is coming to, this is in America, not as prevalent as Canada, as you're watching this. This is coming to America. Oh, and the family? Get away from me. The charges, not listening to us. And every one of those police officers there had a choice when they put on their uniform today and when they accepted this assignment. Every one of those individuals, men in blue, and I generally back the blue, but every one of those people had a choice. I'll go and arrest them pursuant to your orders. Or no, you're going to have to find someone else. And until the men in blue, and yes, women in blue, until they make that decision, well, they neither have my respect nor my compliance, and they shouldn't have yours. All right, let's switch to, in the interest of time, let's switch to very quickly the Spartacus letter, because I do want to get into the fraud election, the audits. How much time do we have before? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, before we go to the Spartacus letter, and I'm going to jump around here a little bit, I want you to, I do want to take a couple of other pieces of news. I want you to go, the illegal invasion of the United States is all part of this as well. All right. The illegal invasion is all part of this. The last link I sent Eric the Tech is Life Along the Border Collapses. You know, we're not hearing anything about this in the leftist media, in the captured corporate media. Kamala Harris's picture is on milk cartons everywhere, or should be. We did check with Willie Brown, God rest his soul. She's not there. She's not underneath the desk, never mind. So MIA, and they're keeping Kamala Harris under wraps, because she can't stop cackling. But take a look at this. Take a look at this page. Life Along the Border Collapses. This is the last link on this. Let me just pull this up myself as well. I want you to take a look at what's going on down there at the southern border. This is from Town Hall, regardless of what you think of Town Hall or whatever. But if you take all the imagery, as this article shows, all the imagery you've seen over 14,000, actually it's more than that, Haitian migrants camped under an international bridge in a small Texas border town, Del Rio, actually. You've got disease. You've got the sanitation problems. You've got this unbearable heat. Well, violence has broken out. This is according to the media personnel who are reporting this. And I credit Alex Jones, too, in this. But it's 100 times worse than what you're seeing. Texas Representative Tony Gonzalez, the freshman Republican, he represents 42% his area, his territory, 42% of the border. Del Rio has been rapidly deteriorating when illegal immigrants, and these people are here illegally, so they are illegals, they began surging into the community in January. Now, Gonzalez says it's a Category 5 situation, and the environment is unlike anything he's ever seen before. It's total chaos. There's no border left. This is not a bug. This is a feature. This is not incompetence. This is competence by the left. And this all fits in to this great reset, globalist reset, this coup. This is an extension of the coup that took place in November of 2019. And these migrants or these illegals, complements of this regime are being flown, bused, and moved to all areas of the country. They're sick. Some of them are sick. Some of them, all of them. We don't know anything about most of them. Read the article, folks. Understand what's going on. Understand exactly that this is all part of what is taking place or what is meant to take place at this time. All right. I wanted you to see that. And please read this article. But what happened in November 2019? Are we going to see anything about the audits? Are we going to see any kind of, and is it going to matter at this point? I want to ask, is it going to matter? Let's go to the national file. It's about the audits and the elections before we get to end this out with the Spartacus letter. Let's go to the national file. The Arizona audit, voters with no record of their existence in databases far outnumber Biden's lead. Do you remember last week with the audit results coming on Friday, Wednesday and Thursday, the mainstream media was saying, well, wait a second. The audit reveals that Biden actually won. No. And hell no. What the audit revealed was Biden cheated. And yes, if you do a simple recount, won, but the ballots were fraudulent. Understand that this Arizona audit has shown that, and even Mike Lindell and others, Mike Lindell with the machines and such, but just purely the databases. This has shown that in Arizona alone, the audit was, or the election was a farce. Simple as that. Read the National File article on the Arizona audit. Steve Bannon does a great job in covering that as well. The question is, who's going to do anything about it? We need to have a 1946 McMinn County, Tennessee moment here. Well, it's beyond that. But, you know, it's laughable to think that the California recount was anything less than what we saw in 2019, given the fact that they used the same machinery, the same techniques. And what, do you expect different results? What, are you nuts? So are we going to fix this? Are we going to be able to fix this by voting in 2022? Do you think that there's going to be anything different in 2022? Especially since Gavin Newsom, after his close call, a lot closer than what was reported and a lot closer than, you know, because of the machines. You going to expect anything different? When is enough enough? All right. But read that. Let's put up the Spartacus letter here, because this has a lot of great points, and it does encapsulate a lot of the larger issues of what we're dealing with. Now, this is on my Scribd account, and it's at HagmanReport.com. All right? I should take a look at this. It starts out with, "Hello, my name is Spartacus, and I've had enough. We've been forced to watch America and the free world spin into decline due to a biowarfare attack. We, along with countless others, have been victimized and gaslit by propaganda and psychological warfare operations being conducted by an unelected, unaccountable elite against the American people and our allies. The only thing I would say is they're not elite, they're scumbags. Our mental and physical health have suffered immensely over the course of the past year and a half. We have felt this thing of isolation, lockdown, masking, quarantines, and other completely nonsensical acts of healthcare theater, and have done absolutely nothing to protect the health or well-being of the public from the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Now we're watching the medical establishment inject literal poison into millions of our fellow Americans without so much as a fight. We've been told that we'll be fired and denied our livelihoods, or, you know what, denied even simple things in life and soon to be food if we refuse to vaccinate. This was the last straw. Remember what Biden said. I just showed you that 97, 98, meaning 100% compliance. Remember what Hochul said, okay? Hochul, be my apostles. And the clergy are going along with this. You saw what happened to the clergy in Canada that refused to go along with it. On your knees. If you scroll down, you'll see a summary there. COVID-19 is a blood and blood vessel disease. Now, it's really important. This document, again, I don't know who wrote this, but I did research this enough to tell you that the information contained in the entirety of this is critical. Maybe I should have started with this. But you know, you can read. You can research. Look at the footnotes. You can certainly understand what's going on here. But it's a blood vessel disease. SARS-CoV-2 infects the lining of human blood vessels, causing them to leak into the lungs. Understand what this bioweapon is. The current treatment protocols, the invasive ventilation, they're harming patients. They're accelerating essentially the death process. Ventilator-induced lung injuries, the continued use of ventilators in the absence of any proven medical benefit constitutes mass murder. Period. End of sentence. Folks, please read the entirety of this. You may not understand all of it. I certainly didn't. I had to look a lot of things up. You know, the so-called authorities, they've denied the usefulness of natural immunity against COVID-19, despite the fact that natural immunity confers protection against all of the virus proteins, and not just one. I've talked to several people who have received monoclonal antibodies. And they're up and around in 24, 36, 48 hours. But in the summary here, there's a vast and appalling criminal conspiracy that directly links both Anthony Fauci and Moderna to Wuhan, the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Now, additional things. Scroll down, if you don't mind, and this is, you got to scroll down quite a ways to past transmission, you scroll down just briefly to vaccine dangers. I don't want to cut into Sandeo's time here. But COVID-19 vaccine dangers. The vaccines, again, in my quotation marks, for COVID-19 are not sterilizing, do not prevent infection or transmission. They're leaky vaccines, which means that they remove the evolutionary pressure on the virus to become less lethal. It also means that the vaccinated are perfect carriers. You'll hear, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. No, this is a pandemic of the vaccinated. But scroll down for the purpose of today. COVID-19 criminal conspiracy. The vaccine and the virus were made by the same people. You could just stop right there. They were made by the same people. And you start looking at who these people are. Ralph Baric, a virologist and SARS expert at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. We've talked about this before. Anthony Fauci was referring to, this is a guy that Fauci was referring to when he insisted before Congress that if any gain-of-function research was being conducted, it was being conducted in North Carolina. That was a lie. You see, Fauci lied before Congress, which is a felony. Yeah. Ralph Baric and Xi Zhengli are colleagues and have co-written papers together. Ralph Baric mentions Xi Zhengli, the bat lady, in his gain-of-function manipulation techniques. You can read all of this. It's all here with footnotes. Ralph Baric of Echo Health Alliance, subcontracted these grants to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, a lab in China. Questionable safety record there. Poorly trained staff. So they can conduct the research that the United States couldn't. And finally, before that, COVID-19 vaccine, another subheading, COVID-19 vaccine development links to transhumanism. Didn't we talk about this before? Now, the Spartacus writes, this section deals with some more speculative aspects of the pandemic in medical and scientific establishment's reaction to it, as well as disturbing links between scientists involved in the vaccine research and scientists whose work involved merging nanotechnology with living cells. And this goes into Charles Lieber. You've heard us talk about Charles Lieber, this Harvard nanotechnology researcher. You've got to understand his role in all of this. You've got to understand Gates' role in all of this. Oh, you'll be laughed at for all of this. You've got to understand about graphene oxide. You've got to look that back in 2013 under Obama, DARPA launched the BRAIN Initiative. Now, BRAIN is the acronym for Brain Research Through Advancing Innovative Neurotechnologies. And you thought Artelex were just, were just fanciful conspiracy. And then below that, conclusions. And this draws it all home. The current plandemic, as I call it, pandemic, was produced and perpetuated by the establishment through the use of a virus engineered in a, the communist Chinese laboratory, biowarfare laboratory, with the aid of American taxpayer dollars and French expertise. Always count on France. The research was conducted under the absolutely ridiculous euphemism of gain-of-function research, which was supposedly carried out in order to determine which viruses have the highest potential for zoonotic spillover and presumptively vaccinate or guard against them, which is BS. In other words, it's BS. This is a biological weapon. And lastly, the pandemic and its response served multiple purposes for the elite, concealing a depression brought on by the usurious plunder of our economies conducted by renter capitalists and absentee owners who produce absolutely nothing of any value to society whatsoever. Instead of us having a very predictable Occupy Wall Street Part 2, the scumbaggery, and their stooges got to stand up on television and paint themselves as wide and all-powerful saviors. That's right. And you can go through the rest of the conclusions. Please do. He closes, any one of these things would constitute a vicious rape of Western society taken together. They beggar belief. They are a complete inversion of our most treasured values. And he asks the rhetorical, what is the purpose of all this? One can only speculate as to the perpetrator's motives. However, we have some theories, and the theories are there. Lastly, to those who are participating in this disgusting farce without any understanding of what they are doing, we have one word for you. Stop. You are causing irreparable harm to your country and to your fellow citizens. To those who may be reading this warning and have full knowledge and understanding of what they are doing and how it will unjustly harm millions of innocent people, we have a few more words. Damn you to hell. You will not destroy America and the free world, and you will not have your new world order. We will make certain of that. And as God is my witness, as I sit here today on the 28th day of September 2021, I guarantee you, I will make certain of that. You can take that to the bank. It's more than a share force. Stan Dale from standale.com. Please, folks, go there. Go there to Stan Dale at standale.com. Go there and all of the hot headlines from Holly Dale. She's tireless. She's working 24/7 to put up information that you need to know. Also, go to empshield.com. Use promo code Hagman, because with what's coming, you're going to need to protect your electronic devices, computer devices. empshield.com/Hagman or empshield.com, promo code Hagman for a great deal on EMP Shields. If you haven't gotten yours yet, it's still not too late. Do that. And I want to say one more thing too. In addition to EMP Shield, Derek to Prepare, Holly's book, I'm going to tell you right now, it's an invaluable resource of preparations of what's to come in cosmic conspiracy. Well, Stan Dale predicted the lot of what's happening right now back 45 years ago. Cosmic conspiracy. Stan, how are you, sir?
Oh, good, good. Speaking of EMP shields, look at slide 56. If you want to just click on that and share that video with folks, it's a very short thing. Tom Holman, very close friend of President Trump, in constant communication with him on various issues of interest. But just click on the picture there.
Stan, I spent some time with Tom Holman. He scares the living daylights out of me, man. That guy could just look at you and make you, you know, weep, crawl in a fetal position. He's a great guy, by the way. Tom Holman. So yes, can we do that?
Click on the text, Eric, and just see this. He cut a few of these commercials for us the other day at one of the Trump rallies. If you can bring that up, or I can screen share it, whichever you want to do.
Yeah, he's got it right here. You want to play it? Can we play it?
Yeah, play it. Yeah, it's only about a minute or so.
Here we go. Give him 1 second. And there's Tom, and nice guy. But boy, I'll tell you what. He knows what's going on.
Did you click the text or the picture?
Donald Trump.
Here we go.
And I'm here to ask America to wake up. You can protect yourself, at the same time protect this great nation. The threat of electromagnetic pulse is real. EMP. If you don't know what it is, look it up. It's a matter of life and death. I recently partnered with a Midwest company, veteran owned, that has developed a device you can hook up to your home or your vehicle to protect you against the EMP. I highly encourage you to go to empshield.com and research this device. Again, it will protect you, in the long term, protect this great nation. Thank you.
There you go.
Great job, man. Tom, I have the utmost respect for Tom, and he would never do anything to lead you astray, lead anyone astray. And the EMP shield is important. Please do that for your car, your home, your generator, your business, everything. Do it today.
Well, Yeah, and the reason he's doing this is behind the scenes, we know how close we are to having an attack by China, Russia, and possibly Iran. At least one Middle Eastern nation might join with these two. It could be Turkey as well, I'm not sure. But the thing is, without the EMP shield on our homes and our power supplies that are, you know, auxiliary, you know, emergency power supplies, if we don't have them protected from the EMP pulses that are coming in this attack, and it is coming, we're going to lose any hope of reconstructing civilization around little tribes, you know, where people have solar power and generators and stuff. That's where people are going to congregate to listen to the news and to share information themselves and to broadcast news from their area to others. So it's extremely important that we have some power centers in the United States, even though they may not power a whole city or things like that. Now, to that end, we have already been testing EMP shields for an entire power supply for cities as big as, say, like Austin, Texas, and, you know, a new device to protect nuclear reactors here. That's why Tom's coming on. Now, he's going to do a stint on Fox News shortly here. I'm not sure what day it's coming, but he will probably mention this as well there. And if you haven't been watching, there have been a number of Trump rallies, like the old days, which are attended by tens of thousands of people, very enthusiastic. And I very seldom see a mask out there in the crowd. But click on slide 55. Just the other day, this weekend, I was watching a Trump rally, Save America. There you go. Standing in his white hat. Good guys wear white hats. Best guys wear white hats. And the red hats there. For
who's that? Who's that guy there wearing that white hat?
Yeah, a good guy. A Trump fan. Anyway, that's...
Spiffy.
Yeah, Spiffy, yeah. Have you been getting any emails or phone calls, Doug, about the La Palma volcano situation?
Every single day.
What is the general gist of what you're getting? What are they asking here?
You know, in a couple of words, fear, fear, uncertainty. A lot of people believe, and I tend to agree with them, that Stan, that this might be being helped along by weapons that we have no knowledge of, by weapons of our enemies. And I don't know. I'm no expert, but I have to say, from what I've seen, I wouldn't doubt it. But a very, very wide concern, widespread All concern right. about this. Go ahead.
Well, now, you know, I've been getting those too. And I've also got a couple of prophecies from two places about the tsunami going to hit the Carolina coastline in the next two or three days, you know, by the end of September. And that, you know, I don't see evidence of that happening unless, you know, there's a surprise eruption south of the Cumbrid via eruptions going now. In fact, if you look at slide 57, this is a report of the last 3 days earthquakes on the island, significant earthquakes, right? Two and above. I don't think we've got many that you can see that are under two, but there are some. I'll show you that here in the next slide. But what that's showing is that the number of earthquakes has dropped from thousands to, you know, tens. And they're still concentrated where the magma is coming out of that. And if you read the official report from the Spanish Observatory, which you can do by clicking on that button down there, it says read translation of the notice. And if you do that, I'll tell you what it says here. The notice says, since the last communique and until 24 hours on yesterday, September the 6th, there has been little seismicity in the eruptive zone, with only one earthquake located at 9:03 universal time of a magnitude 2.5. Throughout the morning between 4 and 7 a.m., a seismic swarm has taken place in the area with 16 earthquakes located between 7 and 14 kilometers depth. So that would be roughly two-thirds, five, about 10 miles deep and shallower. Now, I'm going to skip down through that. You can see the whole article yourself or the whole notice. This morning, due to the decreasing emission of ash from into the atmosphere, the IGN, that's their USGS, has issued a volcano observatory notice for aviation. This decrease and the decrease in the maximum height reached by the erupting column in different pulses, they're now, you know, loosening the warning to aviation. You can fly again. Okay. Now, you go to this site, go to IGN and look at this tomorrow. This evening is probably not going to be much information on it if they finish for the day. But now go down on our show images page to slide 44. Click on the picture. Now, this is from the U.S. coastline viewing the La Palma Island and the Cumbre de Vieja eruption. And what's interesting about this, I mean, you can zoom it up. It's a zippable picture, but the red that you see in that picture is the flow of the magma, you know, the lava, down toward the sea. And that's current at the moment. And what is interesting to me is see all the earthquakes around that area, that red, that's where the thousands occurred, was around there, and slightly to the right where there's another cluster of them without, you know, outside the red zone. The one where the lava is now is kind of pointed more toward the northeastern United States should it produce a tsunami. But I don't see it doing that, because this, if it collapses here, will collapse onto flat ground. To the right, however, where that's new, or like other concentration of earthquakes are, if that one goes, that will release one of these great tsunamis, which will go as far as from Florida to New York City. Now, I don't see that happening yet, and things seem to be calming down. But as you just mentioned, if the Russians, say, use one of their nuclear torpedoes, which they've looked at to cause tsunamis, and they launch that there against the side of the slopes, and then get the heck out of Dodge, because they don't want to swamp their submarine, they could theoretically cause this to make a tsunami and be like a natural event as far as anybody's concerned on the world stage. So I do say that in spite of the evidence that says it's slowing down and that we don't have to worry about a massive eruption, keep watching the news, or at Cumbre de Vieja, go to the IGN site in Spain and look at that daily to see if it's erupted or had an earthquake or something that's causing that shelf to fall down into the sea there. Could be man-made, I grant you that, because the Russians have already announced that they have that technology a couple years back. Now, slide 45 to the right of that, you don't have to go through that now, but it's a video that I took on the 25th of the activities. When I say I took it, I copied it off the website there, showing the eruption, which started at lava flow on the left. And it's impressive. And, you know, at the moment, that's quieting down. So, relax, folks. Get your emergency gear ready if you need to go to high ground in the Carolinas. But at this point, I don't see it happening through the normal process of geological activity on the island of La Palma. So be safe. Be cautious. And slide 40 is another interesting thing in astrophysics. I'm going to read this. It's in the text here. A large asteroid as wide as the wingspan of a Boeing 747 passed by the Earth recently. And scientists didn't even see it coming. And they say the reason they didn't see this one coming is because it approached from the sun side, and the sun was blinding their instruments to see it. It was coming right in the direct sunlight path. It's been called 2021 SG, according to the NASA-backed International Astronomical Union's Minor Planet Center. The asteroid has a diameter of anywhere between 42 to 94 meters, with an average diameter.
If I may, I suspect that SG means sucks greatly, but okay.
Yeah, that works for me. But the fact is that they didn't discover it until it was within 9,200 miles of the surface, and that's one-third of the distance to our far-out, you know, constellations of communication satellites. That's close. That's kind of one of those things, like you say, I think there's an asteroid. Well, that was close coming. So, you know, and this size of a thing would have hurt. I mean, it's half the size of the Great Pyramid of Giza. And that was on the 16th of September, but I want to bring it up again. I mean, Holly put it up on our website back around the 20-some-odd of September about this. But people will have to be cautioned again that all the detection we have for near-Earth objects, NEOs, depends upon things like reflectivity of the surface of the asteroid. You know, can we see it? Is it a dark, you know, charcoal dark, and we can't see it in normal light? Can we pick it up with the infrared cameras, you know, or telescopes if we're looking in the right place? And if it's, you know, hidden by the sunlight, good luck. I mean, there are thousands of these things yet uncharted. We know that they're because of the mass of these things flowing around the solar system. It perturbs the orbit of Mars and Earth and to a little bit Venus. You know, it kind of, you know, deflects the orbit just slightly. And so they can pick these things up. But we know they're there, but they're not all trackable at the moment. So don't think that we're totally devoid of danger from these things. We need more equipment and better equipment to get out there and better ideas on how to deal with them. Once we find something this big, how to move it, you know, enough in time to avoid the impact. But this one here, even if we had seen it, you know, a couple of days earlier, there wouldn't be enough time to get a missile out there, a bomb, and deflect it with a pillow cushion explosion or anything, because it's a huge mass, much, much bigger than a rocket, and that you need like months ahead of time to deflect it, you know, even a little bit so it misses the Earth. Anyway, enough on that.
I want to just pipe in and say this. I remember this very clearly. I was working a case, and I was driving back through New York State, and I was driving by the Buffalo Airport in the summer of 2001. It was like June something of 2001, and it was about it was starting to get dark. It wasn't quite dark, and I saw this flash of light that was going from. I'm going to say left to right, as if that's the direction. At least it was the direction as I was driving on the interstate. And I saw that it was a streak. And I thought, wow, you know, we're being bombed or something. Then it disappeared. And maybe this was my imagination, but I kind of heard like a, or felt like an impact of some kind. So anyway, to make a long story short, I was wondering what was that? So the news the next day and research, I was doing some research and, oh yeah, it was the size of, maybe a baseball meteor, the size of a baseball coming in. And actually they found, or they isolated part of it in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania in the mountain region. So the only reason I said that is, can you imagine seeing this thing come in and you know, so if the size of a baseball versus the size of a 747, that would really, yeah, the pucker factor there would be tremendous. So, I can't, in the article, it shows the, what was it, Chvrlinsk, meteor on 2013, and that wasn't that big either. So anyway. Okay.
Well, a lot of the little meteorites that we see during, you know, meteorite storm seasons, we see these streaks of light out there. They're about the size of a grain of sand traveling at, maybe 25, 30,000 miles an hour. And they leave that streak in the sky and then they're gone. They're burned up. So when you talk about something this size, it'll be like in the movies. There will be these billowing red and gray clouds behind it, flowing behind it as it comes in. And if you're in the unfortunate position to see it coming in like that, probably ought to kiss your backside goodbye, because it's going to hit you before you can blink twice.
In that case, I just hope it lands right in my head. You know?
Yeah.
I don't even want to be anywhere near it. But
Well, okay. Some other, there are some interesting things happening out there with the sun. I've been warning about this solar cycle. Things are going to become a bit unstable on the surface of the sun, and it's going to eject matter out. Now, if you look at slide 37, now that's the current picture of the visible portion of the sun that we can pick up on the satellites that are still working out there to tell us where the hot spots or active regions are. In the left of that picture, you'll see at about minus 120 degrees, you'll see a bright long spot. And that's an active region that is just now leaving us. You know, it's on the, if you look at it, it's on the right side of the picture of the picture of the sun. We'll look at that in a minute. And that's going to go around. It's on the left side. I was thinking east-west, but it's going to be on the left side of the picture I'm going to show you. It's moving toward the center of the screen. And that will be Earth-effective, geo-effective, in about 5 to 6 days. So around Sunday, Monday, this is going to be pointing right at us, if not before, because it's the speed of the sun's surface there is a little bit faster than the 28-day orbit. It's about 32 days, so...
What's the shipping rate speed on your EMP shields? I'm being serious about this. No, you know what? I am.
Within 5 days.
Within five days. Yeah. So, okay. Folks, look at this picture. And, you know, get your EMP shield. I'm telling you right now. And you might say, well, what's, okay, if we have no power, it's not going to, it's going to make a big difference. So, it sells itself. Look at this picture and get your EMP shield if you don't already have it. And make sure it's installed properly. Okay, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, the next slide to that 38 next door to it is the current magnetic image of the magnetic field lines coming out of these active regions. And the lower left of this picture is the edge of that spot I was telling you is going to be moving around toward us. And looking at it now, I'd say that it's probably going to be Sunday evening, Monday, that it's going to start being geo-effective. Should it release a CME that's Earth-directed, it will probably be kind of at a glancing glow. I don't think it's going to be high enough. Let me just check that on the green spot. It could release the one that's almost a halo or directly aimed at Earth. And in that case, yeah, you could say we could get some EMP pulses from it. And it wouldn't be like a short one, you know, like a millionth of a second or something. It would be like hours worth of CME coming at us and solar wind following that. So anyway, as Doug said, if you're thinking about getting your EMP shield, it'd be a good idea to do it now.
Yeah.
There's going to be a rush on them when this stuff starts to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, you look at this and I don't want to belabor this, but when you look at these images, Stan, it just really drives it home, that I think we've been pretty fortunate so far.
We've come close. We've come close in the last few years, but, you know, the one that counts is the one that gets you. And, it may be, you know, on the other side of the solar sunspot maximum, which would be, 18, 6. So on the other side of 2024, 25, it may go on the downside of the solar cycle. But sometime in the next 7 to 9 years, I think we're going to see some heavy stuff from the sun. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, the slide 39 is interesting. The fact that the guy caught it on camera is even more interesting. If you click on the picture itself in slide 39, it's a picture of a red sprite, which is lightning in the upper atmosphere, way up there going out into outer space. And if you click on that, you'll see the still picture, and you can see all the sparklies. There are blue vents as well, but this one's a red one. And if you then click on the word here, view short video clip of it here, it's a very short clip, like a 2 to 3 seconds. You click on that, it'll bring up and show you how this thing appeared and then disappeared. As I say, very fortunate this guy was able to film that. It's very impressive.
It looks like it's coming from the ground up. Is that just?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's going up.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not coming down to hit the Earth. It's going up into outer space to discharge into the charge regions of our upper atmosphere. And if you click on the article part of it, which is just after the 39 or C article here, if you click on that, it'll take you to the space for the article on that. And it's saying lightning on Earth is getting weirder and weirder. And, and this fellow had a Sony camera, which just allowed him to, of course, catch all this stuff. And it tells you there that the Earth's tallest lightning, which they nicknamed it, can reach up to the ionosphere, of course. It's a charged area of our atmosphere. And this lightning then goes up there because the charge difference was going up rather than down to the ground. And so it can discharge into the ionosphere. Good article there. So
what would, I'm just real curious, and even if it doesn't make a difference, fine. What would the origin of that, would that look like a charred mess down there, or would that be?
It's kind of an illusion because that starts higher in the atmosphere, not on the ground.
Okay.
Where he was filming from in the trees there makes it look like it came from the ground, but this is up higher in the atmosphere, but not to the ionosphere, obviously. The top part would be toward the ionosphere. The bottom part would probably be 50,000-60,000 feet altitude and then going up.
All right.
Ooh, cool stuff. Cool stuff. Yeah. Flight 53 is a good place to start on this. You know, we've been talking about the kings of the East. We thought about China, you know, maybe Korea joining in North Korea, whatever. It's a lot worse than I thought. There's an article on, are these the kings of the East mentioned in the Bible? It says, and that's slide 53 I'm talking about. President Duterte of the Philippines recently stated that if China and Russia decide to create a new world order, he would be the first to join them and leave the UN. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan of Turkey should not be fixated on joining the EU and has reiterated the idea of joining Russia and China in a Eurasian security group called the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, the SCO. And when you look at that, these are kings of the East all over the place, including the Philippines. Going over to slide 54 and looking at the article that goes with that, with the U.S. out of Afghanistan, Iran jumps on the opportunity of joining the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. And, you know, in the article, if you read it, these nations are gathering together for information sharing, intelligence sharing, and probably at some point forming an army, a joint army, you know, like a NATO type thing, to head toward the Middle East. Now, one of the things blocking China's push into the Middle East is the Euphrates River. It's a heavy area to have to get millions of troops across. They've got railways built all across the Himalayas in northern India now, from China, and big, huge double burner, double boiler locomotives to haul equipment and troops over to the Euphrates, but they can't get across that without, you know, some difficulty. And that's why I caught this article down here. Okay. Let's look at slide 48. And this is showing, you know, the Euphrates and Iran off to the right there where it says 11 BCMs or whatever. And that's the water flows, becquerels of water, large amounts of water. The Euphrates is drying up. You know, billion cubic meters of it, if you stop that, it's going to affect Iraq, Syria, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Iran, and it's already doing that. In slide 46, we see where this drought in Iraq and Syria could totally collapse the food system for millions of people. And this fellow here in the picture is complaining. He's a farmer. He's saying, you know, already feeling the effects of the drought. The Euphrates is starting to dry up again, like the Bible in Revelation says, that the angels would come and sit on the top of the Euphrates and dry it up. This is biblical. It is drying up, you know, due to no man-made cause other than, you know, using it. But that's the drought, and it's starting to fulfill biblical prophecy, creating massive famines and hence population migrations to get to where there's food and water. Slide 47 shows you that the Dead Sea itself is dying. Sinkholes are forming. The water is evaporating, not being replenished from the Jordan River flows up north of there. So you're going to be able to walk across the Jordan River, even not just the Euphrates. Everything is going to dry up. And there's a land bridge anyway at the north of the Dead Sea area that goes between Asia and Israel. But, you know, it's coming. And the Tigris is probably going to dry up with the Euphrates. In slide 43, we see that. that's a picture of some sheep on the coast, but it's saying that there's another cause for the Euphrates drying up. Now, this is man-made. Turkey is starting to build 22 dams to hold the water back that comes from Turkey to feed the Euphrates. 22 more dams, and they're going to not only dam up of the upper flow of the Euphrates, but of the Tigris as well. Millions of people across the Middle East face a growing threat imposed by drought. A recent report published by the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs highlights a water crisis that is a result of both climate change and the policies pursued by some governments, in this case, Turkey. Let's see here. Crops were grown, fish were caught, people drank, bathed, and washed clothes, and the waterways were a constant taken for granted along the Euphrates and the Tigris, because they were always there. Well, now then, they're blocking them. And the three countries involved are the non-Arab states of Turkey, Israel, and Ethiopia. And they're going to have their water supplies impacted greatly. And, of course, not to mention the eastern side of Saudi Arabia as well, and the Arabian Sea. Okay, so drought, political decisions to hoard the water. And we have a similar situation here in Colorado. Like, the Colorado River supplies a lot of places, including part of Mexico. And as the Colorado River diminishes, we're faced with, do we hold the water, you know, for ourselves here in Colorado, even though we've got contracts with California and other, you know, states and countries that are, you know, taking water from it? Or do we, save Colorado and not let them have as much as they've had before? Obviously, we've got contracts, so they're going to have to do it. But there's going to be a point when the water level drops so low here as it exits Colorado that downstream won't get it. And as the Hopi told us, there's going to be a day soon when the water will rise so high between the three mesas there in Arizona that they will have to go by boat or canoe between the three mesas in Arizona. One way that can happen is there's one spot in the Grand Canyon where the Colorado River flows down through there that if it gets a good shake, the rocks and stuff that will fall down will block the flow of the Colorado River. And at that point, it's out of our hands. The water will back up and make a lake, you know, into Arizona. You know, over a few months, maybe a couple of years it might take to fill it up, but depends on the rainfall, you know, up in Colorado area and in the mountains after that. That will cut off the water flow to California and other countries that were using it there, you know, Mexico, whatever. So we have issues with water. The coming war in the Middle East is going to be a water war more than an oil war. It is already quite dire. And so when it escalates to a point where the crops aren't growing and people are hungry and thirsty, they will migrate illegally into Israel or in any country that's got water. This is a big driving factor in destabilizing the Middle East. Just one of those things to look at.
Now, this is attributed to climate change, not man-made climate change, but just earth changes, right? Or what?
Well, it's going to be attributed to man-made problems if Turkey goes ahead and builds those 22 dams, you know, which are upstream of the Euphrates. That will then impact the flow there. That's why I went over to talk about Colorado, because the source, you know, much of the source for the tributaries to the Euphrates are, you know, in Turkey and Turkish-held land. So if they block that flow, that will add to the climate change. But without their help right now, it's all drying up. So if they do build even one more dam, they're going to be impacting the water flow downstream, which is it's going to destabilize everybody. It's not going to be happy times. But as I said earlier, Iran is now joining the SCO, or wants to join that, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. And if we look, let me just see, I think that includes China. Yeah, okay, well, China is a big member of the SCO. India, Russia, Kazakhstan, Pakistan, Kyrgyz Republic, whatever that is, Tajikistan and Uzbekistan, all the stands together. Already they're members of that. And so China has a vested interest in being sure that they can get across the Euphrates, so they may support the Turkish effort to dry up the Euphrates.
And that's a whole lot of people, a whole lot of that they represent, the SCO member states.
Yeah.
China, well, India, Russia, in the stands.
And, yeah, and Philippines are that. I think they're going to join. They're going to join that too. Iran is within a few days, not a week, a few days to having the fuel to officially make a nuclear weapon. And you can see there in what is slide 49. In slide 49, you can see the picture of it. And in slide 49 text, you can see the article about it. The Islamic Republic of Iran, the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism. Well, that doesn't count Afghanistan at the moment, has failed to honor a key agreement that it reached with the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, just a couple of weeks ago. They've already blown past that agreement. They're not letting the inspectors look at the camera footage and stuff like that on their reactors. And so Israel is aware of this. And, of course, Israel is the prime target of the nukes of Iran. And Iran is using Syria, probably Damascus, that's where they've been doing it, as a staging point for their nuclear weapons to, or missiles anyway, and now with nuclear weapons to go toward Israel, northern Israel, particularly, you know, across the Golan Heights. Now, this is a bit of a worry to, Israel, understandably. And so it's interesting in slide 50, Israeli Prime Minister Bennett says Iran has crossed nuclear red lines, and those were drawn during the Netanyahu administration. But he also hinted at the potential for Israel to act on its own against Iran, something it has repeatedly threatened in the past. Quoting him, "Iran's nuclear program has hit a watershed moment, and so has our tolerance," Bennett said. Words do not stop centrifuges from spinning. So in the next week, look for a military move by Israel to get rid of their nuclear facility or the nuclear fuel supplies. And it might be that they hit Damascus. I mean, they've hit targets there before, but if they hit with a nuclear device, it could turn Damascus in a space of an hour or two into a ruinous heap, fulfilling prophecy again. But they're being forced to. I mean, what do you do? I mean,
well, if your neighbor, I mean, if your neighbor says, you know, I've got a bomb, I'm going to blow up your house, do you wait until that happens, or do you take a more preemptive approach? And okay, I mean, it's biblical prophecy. Here we are, and I've always said World War III would start in Syria. You know, Syria would be the epicenter of World War III. So, you know, this would kind of.
I think you're right. You know, I think you're right, because Damascus, of course, is in northern Syria there, and it is. Been where Iran has been building weapons and arms and stuff and training people to get into Israel through the Golan Heights. Yeah, it could very well start a conflict in the area. In fact, that conflict, if Israel, well, not if, but when Israel is forced to use nuclear weapons against Iran in Syria, and perhaps against even some Russian presence there, the world is going to panic. I think this is what's going to demand that Israel sign a contract with many nations about not using nuclear weapons anymore, because people will be afraid that Israel has enough stuff to really hurt everybody. And that's coming. I mean, that treaty will not be demanded by people until, Israel, takes action and scares the heck out of everybody. Scares the heck out of us. Yeah. Okay. Geomagnetic storm in slide 50. Nice, beautiful aurora caused by that. It says the geomagnetic storm is set to hit the Earth and may affect satellites and electricity grids. Another reason for, EMP shields. Now, this article came out early this morning. I don't know what has happened since that during the day, but it says here it's set to hit the Earth. Effective grids. And the U.S. government space weather tracking body has warned the public about the possibility of a geomagnetic storm, which is different from a solar storm. The phenomenon is caused by the solar wind, and it will likely spark, colorful aurorae. After the solar storm, here comes the solar wind. Over the past couple of weeks, reports have detailed the devastating impact that solar storms or CMEs can have on the internet infrastructure on Earth. Now, NOAA and Space Weather have issued a geomagnetic storm watch for Sunday. That is September 26th. And that's when the storm is supposed to hit. But then beyond that, it's been updated on the 28th for producing G1, G2 level geomagnetic storms. Now, when they tell you it can hit the internet, it could hit the internet and knock it out for hours or a few days or even longer, depending upon if it hits the internet cables under the sea, because they take a lot longer to find the damage and replace it, depending upon how many miles are damaged, you know, or shorted out from this. So internet may not be stable, you know, when that happens. When this EMP stuff and magnetic storm hit us, it's going to hurt. And I look at what's happening in the country here at the moment, like with the ships that are being held offshore because there's nobody to unload the darn things, the trucking that's not going to various places like Walmart and, you know, grocery stores and things like that because we don't have enough truckers trained to do it. You know, the COVID restrictions on employment. And we're in a mess. It shows you how vulnerable the United States is as a capitalist structure. You know, you knock out one little pin over here, like the delivery of interstate or international goods. If you hit those supply chains, it brings down the whole country. It's just like a chain of dominoes, one after the other, breaking down. So whoever planned this over in the Nastyville, you know, they've done it well. And they've done it over years. And the hitting of the Twin Towers was just the first part of it. They showed that hitting our financial system would definitely put the cat amongst the pigeons, as they say. But this is going to be worse, what we're experiencing now. And if there ever was a time to get the draw by Washington at the moment, it is now. You have to be physically removed from office. Anyway.
Wow. Yeah, and I did spend the first hour talking about the effects of the COVID restrictions or response. You know, in New York, they're removing healthcare workers from the hospitals who refuse the clot shot jab, and replacing them with National Guard, medic-trained National Guard. I mean, what sense does this even make, except through the prism or through the lens of this global reset and global restructuring? And that's the same with this. You know, as you said, the trucks or the container ships out in the sea, languishing there, and supply chain disruptions. Here we are. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I know. Just on a lighter note here, always kind of been interested in luxury cars, even though I could never afford one. But 41 and 42 were linked to the same article about Rolls-Royce electric vehicles. And they're going to bring one out. It's a Rolls-Royce Silent Shadow. In slide 41, you can get a picture of it. Or on the text, you can click on the article. And they're now promising that within 10 years, they will make the super luxury electric vehicle Rolls-Royce. And that's in picture 42. And I had a laugh when I saw that design. If you click on the picture and you bring up, that new super-duper car, the shields that they've got around the wheels, they're about 2 inches off the ground.
Yeah.
If you get a flat tire, you're going to be scraping dirt with your fenders. Look at that. What a bad design.
Well, I can compare that to my Rolls-Royce Silver Shadow that's in my garage right now.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. But no, you're right. And you know, what do they think powers these things, right? I mean, oh my goodness, it just...
That's a behemoth. It's going to take a big battery for that. It'll probably tow it in a crate behind it somewhere,
I guess.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, and this is all, you know, we're moving to electric vehicles, and, you know, the administration is now wanting us to have no gasoline cars by, 2030 or something like that. This is moving us toward not being able to go into the country areas and farmers, you know, not being able to farm unless they have dispensation from the cities, the ICLEI cities, we call them, because with an electric car, you have to have a charging station.
Yeah.
Now, unless you can put a charging station in with your solar power, which you can do, a Tesla wall, you're not going to be able to travel out in the country very far. You know, your battery runs flat. And so what do you do? It's going to call for some kind of a portable solar electric charger, you know, for your car that you stop for a picnic for 2 or 3 hours to charge a car enough to get a few more miles down the road. It's forcing us to move in toward the cities and to be clustered into these, you know, modern castles in essence. And out in the farmlands is going to be where the serfs, you know, make our food, probably with the help of a lot of robotic devices and whatever. But it's going to force us to live in these concentrated buildings and high rises in cities where we're completely controlled by the government, both local and federal.
Want a bet? Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, eventually gasoline will dry up. You know, you won't be able to get it except in extreme cases. And we were watching a documentary on Fox last night, Fox Nation, about the how the petroleum industry works and how fracking works. And it was quite impressive to see what they go through to frack a well and how many small operators across the country are fracking maybe up to 2,000 wells in their little area and gaining so many barrels of oil from each one per day. And should these guys stop, you know, it impacts a lot of oil that you need for gasoline and natural gas as well, all over the United States. With the administration's infinite, you know, idiocy, they had stopped the pipeline to Canada. They've canceled our deals, which were going to make us oil independent under the Trump administration. The Trump administration, speaking of that, it's time to celebrate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was a Trump cup. We're totally at their mercy, and it's happening so quick. Even Saudi Arabia, Prince bin Salman, has supported the 2030 initiative to have the whole planet into this serfdom type arrangement. It's coming, and I'm not in favor of it. I got to tell you,
nor am I. And it's my view anyway. The Saudis, the reason the Saudi oil, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the Saudi oil, it's less expensive because it's cheaper lift cost to get it out of the ground.
It's shallow oil, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, but okay. So, what this regime, this communist regime, is doing here in this country, is indeed actually what you're. Look at the bigger picture. We're going to be subservient to this tyrannical Orwellian overlord system. And we're going to be living in, micro-tel apartments, stacked upon one another.
I just got an email or like a message, a text. Yeah, thanks, Ollie. From a friend in California who has a friend in Australia. And I'm just going to read a part of it because it talks about the COVID lockup system down in Australia, what's happening. Let me just pull it down here where I can see it here. Come on. What has happened is one of their friends got a notice from the, I think it's the New South Wales government. And I'm just going to read. Okay. States of New South Wales and Victoria are proof of facts or report to quarantine camps by end of next week. All personnel already under a lockdown order or are of no more than 3 miles from their house need to get the COVID vaccine, like certificate, or they get arrested. And she says, the friend reported that she got a report to camp tomorrow, like a lockup camp for camp COVID. The report to camp tomorrow notice. And, that's because she hadn't been vaccinated, but I guess they know because they checked her records. But if they're telling them down there to do that, you'd think it'd make the news. But it's becoming like a Nazi-controlled state down there in Australia. Report to the center or we'll come get you.
Yeah, we're going to come get you. We only have a couple of minutes left. Stan, I got to tell you something. 1 minute? All right, 1 minute left. Yeah,
right.
Can't happen here, right? Oh, it can. It will. Go ahead.
That was all I was going to bring up. I mean, it's just this insanity is happening there first, and then it's going to come to us, and it makes you think about all these quote-unquote FEMA camps and stacks of coffins as well. They could use this as a very legitimate reason in the public eye to arrest, to detain those of us that are in the terrorist list. But those are basically people that are unvaccinated, you know, that are resisting this, like myself and you.
Yeah. But I'll tell you something. I hope those who come after us have no families. I really do.
Yeah, I understand. It's time.
All right. It is time. And Stan Dale, standale.com, fantastic. Thank you, Stan, for I apologize for encroaching on your time, but really a great informational download today. I appreciate it.
Well, it's good information. I was sitting here listening to it. All right. You have a good evening.